You are listening to the Holistic Hormone Podcast. I'm your host, Eleanor Dooley, and if you're seeking a deeper understanding of your body's inner workings, the reasons behind its actions and reactions, and you suspect that your hormones might be at play, you are in the right place, my friend. As a functional medicine nutritionist specializing in holistic hormone health for women, I bring together the latest research, my clinical expertise, and my own personal experiences to create a safe space for you to learn and explore. Just remember, this podcast provides information and inspiration for you, not medical diagnoses or treatments. Always consult your own doctor before making any changes. Now, are you ready to dive in? Let's get started. Welcome. Welcome to the Holistic Hormone Podcast. I have a very special guest today. David Steinman is joining me. He is an environmentalist, a journalist, and a consumer health advocate, publisher, and author. And he's published 5 books focusing largely on environmental, dietary, and consumer safety issues, including Diet for Poisoned Planet in 1990. He's the founder of the publishing company Freedom Press, which publishes Healthy Living Magazine. And he resides in Topanga, California. And he is here today to talk all things about toxicity in the world, which is one of my favorite topics. Welcome to the podcast, David.
Hi, Eleanor. It's great to be with you today.
Yeah. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how you got into all of the things that you're so passionate about? And I would just love to hear your story.
Thank you for asking. Like a lot of anti-toxic activists, I came into this because I myself was a victim of toxic poisoning. And I was the first person probably to come forward as a victim of DDT poisoning from the Santa Monica Bay in Los Angeles. What had happened is that I always loved fishing, and most of my life, into my 20s, I fished all the time in the Santa Monica Bay. That's where I grew up. And when I was working for the LA Weekly as an investigative reporter, we got some news reports that dolphins had washed up on shore in Orange County or Southern Los Angeles County with high amounts of a chemical called PCB, which is an industrial chemical, and high amounts of DDT, which is a pesticide largely banned for use in throughout the world, in many parts of the world. So the dolphins had these really high levels, and my editor and I were talking, and we said, you know, instead of reporting on the dolphins, he was really smart, and he said, why don't you just report on the people? I said, sure, but, you know, we fleshed it out. And what we ended up doing was conducting a study, which was eventually published in the scientific literature, of 40 people. We went to fishing piers, fishing boats, all the places where people were fishing in Los Angeles County, and asked them if we could draw their blood. I worked with a friend of mine who was just finishing up his residency at a hospital in Los Angeles County, and a marine biologist. And we actually got the blood of nearly 40 people and had it analyzed for PCBs and DDT. The people eating the most fish from the bay also had the very highest levels of industrial chemicals and pesticides in their blood. I had my own blood tested. I also had high levels. And that's when I made the connection between, oh, I'm fishing every weekend, and now I have high levels of these chemicals in my own bloodstream. That's when I began asking, well, what can I do? I was really fortunate. One, I testified before a congressional subcommittee, and we got the Santa Monica Bay designated as a Superfund site, and people now know that the fish from the bay are too contaminated to eat. And in addition, I became aware of my own incipient poisoning and realized if I continued on this way, that I was going to end up like some of the people in the study that we had just done. I'll just give you an example. One of the folks in the study was a Japanese-American postal worker, and he had a bucket full of croakers at the Venice Pier in Los Angeles. And I was talking to him as we were drawing his blood, And he said he used to work for the Postal Service, but he doesn't anymore because he has liver cancer. And so he was like a prime victim of DDT poisoning. Now, you can say, well, a lot of things can cause liver cancer. That's true. But to put a metaphor, if there's a gun nearby the scene, you kind of have to look at it. And here, the smoking
Right.
gun was his seafood catch, which we saw.
So when you discovered that you had this toxicity, is it because you were consuming it or because you were around it, you were touching it? How did you feel that you were infected, I guess, with the toxicity?
It for me, it had to be through the blood testing. No one talked about DDT poisoning from eating your food when we were doing these studies. This was the first ever study done on the West Coast of fishermen and women. So if you're asking though what the symptoms were, I was very fortunate. I was young enough that when I stopped, it wasn't a full lifetime of exposure. But some of the people that we studied, like there was the captain of a fishing boat, and this person had really high levels of blood pressure, which is and very high levels of the chemicals. And this is a very clear-cut sign that goes along with chemical poisoning. So another situation was there was an African American woman who was breastfeeding her baby, and her husband was catching perch from the surf when we took her blood. And she was breast, mind you, she was breastfeeding her baby. And she had the highest levels of pesticide in the whole study. And the pesticide, as we explained it to her, because we promised to follow up, she asked, is it going to hurt my baby? And she was breastfeeding her baby. And the doctor was faced with a really difficult question. Do I continue breastfeeding my child or do I stop? Because breastfeeding has so much benefit, but there was a lot of DDT in her breast milk. Because it was in her blood, so we knew it would be in her breast milk too.
Yeah.
So,
Well, was it
yeah,
because
those are the
she was
symptoms.
consuming the perch, or was it because
Oh, it
she was
was a
around
lot.
it?
No, she was, great question. No, they were eating the fish.
Yeah. Okay.
And so it was totally from ingestion. And this, Eleanor, I mean, this is happening today. It's not like this is a history that will never be repeated. Sadly, these stories that I'm telling you from our studies, and that I share in my book, Raising Healthy Kids, which is out from Skyhorse Publishing. These are the stories I tell because I want people to be able to recognize how these things are happening to all of us. It's really in our living rooms.
Yeah, and that's what I want to talk about because, my audience is, women who, could be mothers or daughters, sisters, and they have lots of family. And so what would be an everyday example of toxicity, poisoning or just being around it, like in your house, if you're not a fisherman, right? So what would they be exposed to on a daily basis?
And but mind you, the fish are being sold in market. So we later did a follow-up study, and the same fish the fishermen and women were catching were also being sold in markets throughout Los Angeles. So it's everyone. But if you're asking me for some of these really good everyday examples, I'm the chief officer of the Healthy Living Foundation, and we sued a company called Justin's Nut Butters. This is public record. We sued them in California. We sued them because our testing detected very high levels of an industrial chemical called acrylamide that was showing up in their classic nut butter and their cinnamon nut butter. And this is factual. So I'm
Wow.
naming the company because you're asking for, and this is in Raising Healthy Kids, protecting your children from hidden chemical toxins. All of our lab results are part of the book and kind of tell you these things that are being hidden from us as consumers. But in this case, we had to file a legal action because California law requires that if the level of a chemical that causes cancer or reproductive harm is above what they call the safe harbor, then it means it could cause human harm, then they need to disclose it on the label. And the company wasn't doing that. And they're not doing it now. The legal action is ongoing. It's
Wow.
public record, it's in California. So this is an example of a very, but the problem with acrylamide, here's the problem. It acts like the sex hormone estrogen. And the studies show that our reason for concern is the studies clearly show that when your daughters are eating snack foods. Maybe they're trying to go paleo and eat a health nut butter, because it's healthy. Or maybe they're eating a product like a Chex snack mix, which we also had the Sioux for acrylamide. But the problem is these risks, the chemical is like a sex hormone, and it causes an increase of endometrial cancer. And this has been shown in epidemiological studies, a number of them on different continents. So the risk starts early, but it continues if you continue eating this food. Basically, you're putting a little sex hormone bomb into your body, a fake estrogen, and it's really causing toxic mayhem.
And I deal a lot with estrogen detox as well. And what some women don't really connect the dots on are, well, if I'm low in estrogen and I'm given a patch or an injection, then I'm not low in it anymore. And what they don't realize is if it's not made in the body, right? It is messing with receptors, and it's just not naturally produced, and therefore can't be naturally detoxed, and it just gunking up the whole system. So this is just one tiny piece of what toxicity can do in the body. Love the example. But a question for you about discovering this acrylamide. Now, I'm sure Justin's and Chex Mix aren't out there diabolically planning on poisoning people, right? That's not what their goal is. So how do we get from people creating products that consumers want to adding all of these things? And how is it, obviously it's not legal if you're suing them, but how is this allowed?
So to be clear, we'll keep our lawsuit as an allegation until proven in
Gotcha.
court.
Okay.
And they can respond any way they want. And if they want, I'm sure you would love to have them on your show. But let me tell you something. They have known about the problem with acrylamide because our foundation and our counsel have advised them of this on many occasions. So I would have to say that they are knowingly exposing the population.
I guess what's the use of this chemical? Why is it being added?
Well, it's being produced because they're using a mix of ingredients and processing methods that are producing it within the product itself. There are certain kinds of amino acids and food additives that, when combined with heat and the length of processing time and the quality of the raw material, can produce this chemical. This is the same chemical that's used for industrial purposes in this case. And in to produce it industrially, it's produced a little differently, but the end result is that through human interactions, and let me be really clear, there are many safe brands of of nut butters. Just for example, we also tested the Whole Foods 365 nut butter, and it came out really, really low in acrylamide. So if you were choosing a nut butter, and you're shopping, it's as easy to choose the safe one. And this is in raising healthy kids. I don't want people to feel disempowered. You're kind of asking me about these really kind of egregious examples of big corporations pushing their might and will on the consumer. But reading Raising Healthy Kids is like getting a black belt and defending yourself. So I'm really teaching you how to defend yourself in the book. But they're doing it knowingly, and sometimes it's from just using really cheap ingredients and not caring enough about the consumer. It could be because they're using outdated processing methods. And most companies, though, are complying. You see, these are the scofflaws. In this case, Eleanor, you're right in that most companies have made a really sincere effort to keep their levels way down. And that's why I'm saying there are better choices, and we point them out in the book.
How would somebody know if they were being poisoned or exposed to this toxicity? I mean, we have all these sort of generic, they don't feel well, we have a headache, we have brain fog, right? I mean, everybody seems to have this for one reason or another. If somebody was trying to sort it out for themselves and they read your book and they got, kind of on their role of detective work, What would be some ways that they would tell if they were being exposed or their children?
That's a great question, because there are several ways to tell. The most intrusive way to tell is to do a blood test or a urine test. And if, for example, you wanted to find out, you don't need to test if you're doing this, but if your child is eating a regular diet of regular sourced breads, fruits, and vegetables, none of them organic, and you did a urine test, their urine would be filled with organophosphate and other kinds of pesticides, and it would show up. Now, you say, well, what are the effects? You know, well, can I see these in my kids? You know, so you can work another way. Is your kid ADHD? That's a good question to ask, because numerous peer-reviewed published studies show that high normal amounts of these organophosphate pesticides will exposure during pregnancy or in the blood of the child, just high normal amounts can increase their risk for ADHD, learning difficulties, cognitive issues, behavioral issues.
And this is before they're born.
It certainly starts, yes. Eleanor, that's one thing that the whole seems like everyone but you and me is missing.
Yeah.
You know, I often feel like, folks, you don't get that a lot of the problems in the country today are because of the way we're treating the unborn child.
Yeah. The mother is being exposed to.
Yeah. And this is really clear.
What lives in the mother's body. I mean, I was a child in the 80s and I have probably 8 mercury fillings in my mouth. Right. That's just what happened back then. And, you know, I've teetered with, do I get them removed? And are they just, you know, there's so much to do. But what are some things that you, besides education, which is why you are, you know, in sharing this information in your books and on podcasts, what is a person to do? We live in this toxic world. We can't live in a bubble. Right. So what are some things after we educate ourselves that we can physically do day to day to prevent this stuff?
Well, if you're talking, you know, there are areas of our consumerism shopping that will make a huge difference, not only in our lives, but in other people's lives. And I can give you some examples that way. And then, you know, you ask about detox, you know, obviously, well, it's not obvious. You know, for example, low heat infrared sauna can help to remove heavy metals and pesticides. I did it to detox and actually measured both heavy metals and pesticides in my perspiration.
Yeah.
So we know that, you know, and we also know certain nutritional foods and supplements, you know, are vital. Just for an example, say you were living in Mooresville, North Carolina. Well, Mooresville, North Carolina is a city that is being inundated with coal ash and radiation from the McGuire nuclear plant. I would seriously, and I'm not a doctor, so please check with your doctor, but I would inquire about supplements that can help prevent the absorption of certain types of radioactive iodine. Nutritionally, seaweed, kombu, kelp has alginates, which help remove radiation from the human body. And actually, these are really important if you're being exposed downwind to iodine and other, strontium and other forms of radioactivity. Just to give you an example.
Absolutely. Yeah. And in my practice, that's what I do. I do the functional blood work and I see the elevated lymphocytes, the monocytes, and how your body is systemically pumping blood and these toxins through your body, through your tissues, through your organs, and the damage that on a daily basis that is not addressed. And I have very targeted supplements that are actually pulling these out. They're binding to the radiation, binding to the viruses, even parasitic activity that the radiation lives inside of, right? We can even get on a much deeper level, but pulling this out of your tissues and giving your body the chance to regrow and, you know, regenerate without the toxicity, I think is the first step. And conventionally, that is not the approach. You know, if you go to a doctor, they're just going to slap you with more medications, or surgeries are really the only two approaches. Do you have any experience with the conventional model of looking for detoxing and it not being the right way, or finding other practitioners that have helped you?
Well, in my own case, no, because I've kind of worked with alternative, you know, doctors all my life because of my own poisoning experience. But I think everyone realizes the limits of what, you know, this is kind of why I wrote Raising Healthy Kids, the limits of what medical, and I'm not saying anything bad against medical doctors, because I believe in Western medicine too, along with Eastern and alternative. But you know, when mom and dad or the parents of are going to the doctor and they say, well, we're pregnant with our child, the doctor won't tell them about all these potential toxic exposures, may not even mention how you need to cut down on your cosmetic and personal care product use and be more selective. They won't tell you about eating too much shellfish and the amount of lead, you know, or the organophosphate pesticides in your bread.
Yeah.
So this is stuff we don't get from the ordinary medical profession. So we need to supplement that.
Yeah, I agree. People like you and I mean, even me telling women aluminum in their deodorant is not at all the right move, and helping you. Neurotoxicity, especially in the procreation years of, you know, women wanting to have babies, which you spoke to about poisoning a fetus, and then, you know, babies being born with predispositions. And so it can be helped. You know, you and I are here to spread the word that people can seek this help. It's not in the forefront, right? The all those commercials are on the TV are trying to push the conventional model and the pharma model. But for those that are, you know, leery about trusting those kinds of chemicals, you know, we are the practitioners on the other side doing the healing and the regrowth. I'd like to share a story, and I would love your comment. So last year, my son, he's 16, very healthy athlete, wrestler. And if you know anything about wrestling, very, you know, muscle and protein and water. And he went for a sports physical, and he's been healthy all his life. And he came back, and the doctor at the CVS, you know, he said, I can't pass him for the physical. And, you know, and we're all beside ourselves. Why? Because he has really high blood pressure. And I'm like, but he's a 16-year-old kid. Like, I, you know, and so immediately my, you know, my mom brain went into full gear, and I looked at his blood work, and I said, you know, you know, 16-year-old kid, he's kind of left to his own devices to eat. I mean, I buy the food in the house, but for the most part, And so I decided to get him a heavy metal toxicity test, because I said, you know what, I think you might have some kind of toxicity driving your blood pressure up. There's really no other reason. And then I kind of started talking to him. I'm like, what are you packing for your lunches every day? And he said, tuna. And I said, oh. I said, well, how many days a week are you eating tuna? And he's like, every day, sometimes twice a day. And it just hit me like a ton of bricks that, oh my goodness, you know, a food that is deemed healthy and high protein was essentially poisoning my son and my family right under my nose. And so I got him, you know, a heavy metal detox, which just consisted of a few targeted supplements, you know, removing specific foods from his diet, and completely returned to normal, you know, within weeks. But it gave me quite a scare, yeah. Even being in the know, You know, so what would you say to, you know, families and, you know, mothers and fathers out there just doing their best? And, you know, with the financial crunch of what's going on with inflation and groceries and, you know, what would you comment on how people are supposed to make this work?
That's such a great question. You know, and sometimes it happens right under right under our own eye, you know, just right. I have stories about that, you know. And this is an interesting question because, you know, I actually dealt with seafood in Raising Healthy Kids. And I pointed out that you should cut down on tuna, particularly during pregnancy and childbearing years. And that if you do eat tuna, or your children do eat tuna, the preferable one is the chunk light and not the albacore or the light tuna. Mm-hmm. And that's because the albacore, the light tuna, white tuna, tends to have about three times more mercury in it than the skipjack that are used for chunk light. So that's just a little tip, actually, that's in the book.
Okay, great.
But, you know, just to, you know, we're trying to avoid these things because of the recriminations that we parents feel. You know, another story from Raising Healthy Kids was a family in New Hampshire that sent their children off to preschool, but didn't have their preschool water tested before the kids went off to school. They later learned the well that was supplying that preschool had a really high level of PFAS chemicals, or forever chemicals, that cause cancer, reproductive harm, liver and kidney disease. And the kids' blood levels were really, really high there too. And, you know, I interviewed the mom, and she was great. But like all of us, you know, she experiences a lot of self-recrimination for like just asking, why didn't I have the water tested before my kids went off to school or preschool? So one of the things I just share with when I talk about the new school rules in Raising Healthy Kids is parents really need to make sure they have that water tested, for example, at their child's school before they start using it. And then I shall show you what to do.
Okay. You know, I was going to say, how do you do that?
Yeah. So number one, the school should have its own monitoring reports. Okay. But if not, I do share the tips of how to go to the school and get the water and have it tested, and what to do if it does have high amounts of lead or forever chemicals. One of the things, though, you brought up, Eleanor, is the finances of detox, or can I do it on a budget? You know, and being an activist as I am, I know all about budgets. I know all about budgets and raising kids. Believe me, that's like, yeah. So, yeah, you can do it. And there's a lot of myths that I want to bust through in Raising Healthy Kids. Like one of the ones that I talk about is that organic foods are more expensive than conventionally sourced foods. That's one of the big, big myths going around that really tells a lot of people not to look at organic foods because they're so expensive. But the truth is that because of consumers who have been asking for safer, healthier foods for the last two decades, the organic market has expanded and grown so much, even though it's still a small part of the total agricultural scene in America, it has grown hugely. And so today you can find the staples like potatoes, carrots, broccoli, onions, bread, oranges, grapefruit, apples, celery. You can find all these pretty much the same price, if not cheaper, than conventionally sourced produce, especially if you shop by the seasons, which is another tip that I share in Raising Healthy Kids.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely is a stigma, maybe a myth. But yeah, I find the challenge getting responsibly sourced food. You know, we don't always know where it comes from when we go to big box grocers. Some people don't even have access to things like Whole Foods. So do you have any tips on that, like for people that live maybe in food deserts or don't have access to fresh markets? What would be like a go-to resource?
That's a great question. And the experience I have in this area is, as I was writing Raising Healthy Kids, I did a large amount of my on the ground research and work along with the foundation for which I'm chief officer in Cancer Alley, Louisiana. And the reason why, one of the reasons why we chose to kind of experiment and see if what we were talking about could be done in Cancer Alley is that, well, one, Louisiana ranks like number 50 as one of the worst states in the nation for the environment, for healthcare, for pregnancy outcomes, for almost everything. I mean, I have friends who are not from the United States, and I say I'm working in Louisiana, and they'll go, oh, is that a red state? Yeah, it's really a red state. It's very red. But it's also where Cancer Alley is also poor. It's a poor area. Some of the people there may make $15,000, $17,000 a year, not a lot of money. And yet their drinking water is filled with pesticide and industrial chemical residue. We've got no open source records, and we know that. And it's considered largely a food desert where people are clamoring for a supermarket. So we went there and we said, how can we, also because of the extreme amount of air pollution, there's about 200, 150 to 200 chemical plants packed into about 50 to 85 miles of river between Baton Rouge and New Orleans. So some of the people don't even want to garden there because the chemicals coming out of the emissions, you see them all the time, the smokestacks, the misty fumes. One plant is right next to a school. We're helping that school. So we really work there to say, what can we do from an overall perspective if you live in a really, toxic community? And this is about as toxic a community as there is in the United States. The cancer rates are out of the world there. They're higher than anywhere else in the nation. And that's where we went to kind of see, can we make what I'm talking about in Raising Healthy Kids work for everyone? And so we did come up with a very holistic plan that takes into account, if you live in a food desert, if your water is polluted, if you can't garden, and you're knowing what's in your community, helping your child at school, because you may not be able to do everything perfectly. Like just in this community, for example, then some people will live 15 to 20 miles from a supermarket. Fortunately, the supermarkets there, the Winn-Dixie, the Rouse's, and the Walmarts are all carrying competitively priced organic foods. The folks there never really thought of that because they didn't have a local grocery within a mile or so carrying organic foods. They thought it was out of reach. It really wasn't, but they weren't thinking, oh, I can get my organic foods at the Walmart. They were thinking, I go to the Walmart for this and that, not for, but the organic. And once I brought it up, they said, oh yeah, we can do that.
Nice.
So that's not always possible.
Right.
Then, we looked at the drinking water. And I was thinking, this water has atrazine, which is an herbicide in it.
Yep.
Sometimes it has phthalate in it. It has simazine, another herbicide. It has hexachlorocyclopentadiene, which is an intermediate chemical that attacks the immune system. And this is sometimes phthalate. We've seen benzene in the water, detectable levels of benzene in some of the drinking water in Cancer Alley. So what do you do then? Well, a test, a very comprehensive test, would be $400 to $500 for your drinking water. And so we decided to have the policy, let's not waste people's money with testing when we've already gotten the public source results. Now, people can't spend necessarily $400 at a time to get the reverse osmosis kind of under the sink water filter that would do an adequate job of protecting them, a really good job of protecting them. They may not have that much cash at hand. So how do you do it? The first thing we did when we were coming down is, we actually brought the community zero water pitcher filters.
Yeah, I've used those for years.
Yeah. And they actually filter out the forever chemicals.
And you can buy them at Walmart.
That's what I mean. So, and it's so much better than the bottled water because, as I was talking to folks there, they were going, they give us We have to buy bottled water, but it's part of the problem. All the plastic is being for plastic products is being made here in Cancer Alley. So we buy the products that are poisoning us. That's crazy. And then they want to put in more plants. But for the drinking water, for the tap water, I said, don't test. Don't worry about testing. It's bad. We know
You're
it.
right.
Go online, buy a $25 faucet-mounted Brita or Pure water filter. They're about $25. And they will filter out about 85 to 90% of most of the chemicals in your water. So that's better than doing nothing. It's $25. You can afford it. Now, get that Brita or zero water or zero water pitcher filter and have the water from your faucet now go into your pitcher filter and double filter it. And you're going to remove even a higher percent of the toxins. It's not perfect, but when you're talking about no one is helping the folks here. It's not like government is coming out. I told you this is the 50th worst state in the union. I mean, it's the worst. So it's not like the government is coming out there and saying, hey, how do we help you cope with all this toxicity? The
Right.
folks have to do it sometimes on a really limited budget. So they've spent $50 now to clean up their tap water. That's so much, you know.
That's
Now,
incredible.
what I'm saying
David,
is,
that's
yeah.
yeah, but just the hope, right? That it's not hopeless, that you have created affordable solutions that are not perfect. People get hung up on if it's not perfect, I might as well not do it. Right, because I'm not, it's not good enough. But in these cases, we are making incremental changes that will dramatically change how the body is having to respond to this toxicity.
If we can get an elimination of two-thirds of the toxicity just by doing simple things, we can help a lot of people. And the point is every Eleanor, you know, this everyone can do this.
Yeah.
And it would be more cost productive for the national economy than all the money we're spending on health insurance and medical insurance. You're spending, God knows if you can even afford it these days, but families are spending $1,000 or more a month on medical insurance, but a simple thing like filtering their tap water or buying the organic foods that their kids' bodies really do need because they are healthier, and the studies show that.
Yeah.
These things are not even they hardly know the consequences of.
Yeah.
But these are the things, you were asking me about the symptoms, and we were kind of getting into ADHD and then clarity. But if you do these things that we're talking about, you're going to feel just stronger. I don't know how to put it in a really clear medical term, but you're going to feel more fortified and stronger as a human being.
Yeah, I totally agree. And the resiliency. Like you get exposed to probably 100 viruses each day and bacteria, but do they take hold and take over? You know, for the most part, no, if you're a healthy person, but there's a lot of people that are immunocompromised and they are not strong enough because of damage from toxicity. And so we're talking about rebalancing that, swinging, the pendulum the other way of let's fortify ourselves because, walking out in the real world, viruses aren't going away. Toxicity isn't going away as far as I can tell. And so we've got to take it upon ourselves to educate ourselves, educate our children, even our elderly population that has kind of come through all of these technology changes and things that are just affecting us. But it's kind of hard to, some of my older patients and people in my family just aren't, the holistic view, they're not, they're not interested. They just don't think that it's, they've lost that trust in their own bodies and their own healing. And to me, it's very frustrating. We help and we do these kinds of things to get the word out and educate and empower people to make better choices for themselves.
I think that there are definitely two universes in in this country, and one is more body self-care centric, and the other is like just not really in tune with it. But I want to believe that the folks you're saying that they're not interested in looking at the world this way, that you can still reach them somehow, even incrementally, you know.
And I kind of say to myself, well, if I model behavior and I show that, things are things that I buy and things that I walk the walk and talk the talk and still, am able to help other people, that yes, I would hope that they would see that and choose to make better choices if in fact they need to be doing that.
It's kind of like what I'm trying to do in raising healthy kids. Everything on the internet often seems, except for a few sites, but the information often seems very scattered and hard to assimilate. Like Consumer Reports will say this, another group will say that, another group will say this, and you have a lot of headlines coming at you. What I tried to do in Raising Healthy Kids is help the reader internalize this, like an internal shield that. If you read this once, it's like taking a college course, and your radar for toxicity will be increased. Like, just to give you an example, you don't need to know everything about cosmetics to buy a safe product, but you do need to know a few things. Like I just share in the book as one tip. If a cosmetic has the three letters ETH on its ingredient label, like sodium lauryl sulfate, or polyethylene glycol, you avoid those products because they're all going to be potentially contaminated with carcinogens. Some of these are in baby bath products, baby bubble bath products too. So it's like I want to give people this shield and also for them to know that when they make these choices, they're really helping a lot of other people in the country, a lot of our neighbors. That's kind of one of the residuals of going to Cancer Alley and other places as I did to write Raising Healthy Kids. As I began to work with folks there, you know, we would talk and I'd say, you know, we're being sold here in Cancer Alley these products that are made with the chemicals being manufactured here. And then we're buying them our laundry detergent, which can have the ETH ingredients too. And you look at the label, if it has it, you don't buy it. It's real simple. But they're being made there, and then the folks there are dropping like flies from cancer. I mean, I meet people 6 months ago, they were healthy, and now they're emaciated from cachexia just from malnutrition because they have a form of cancer. And it's heartbreaking. The spirit is strong. But when you stop buying these products like the ETH ingredients, you know. You're helping folks in Louisiana. I'll just give you another really good example. I've always been kind of a first adapter when it comes to organic. So I was buying organic strawberries and lettuce 20 years ago when there wasn't even organic, you know. And people were saying, "Why are you doing this?" And like your clients, it doesn't really matter. There's no difference. But this the I wrote about Salinas, California in Raising Healthy Kids. This is a farm town where 70% of the country's lettuce is produced. It's the nation's salad bowl. And all the schools there are carved right out of the farm fields and or strawberry fields. And the kids' school is on one side, there's a chain link fence, and then there's the strawberry or lettuce field. And they were being sprayed with really toxic pesticides in the early 2000s. That were harming the kids themselves with their ability to learn, their health generally, but particularly their nervous system because these were nerve toxin type pesticides. When I returned in during the pandemic to finish writing Raising Healthy Kids, my new book, I went to these same schools back in Salinas. They were all surrounded by organics, lettuce and strawberry fields. And I called one of the teachers in the district and I said, "What's going on?" And he said, "Well, it's because of shoppers like you that today there's so much demand that the farmers are now planting organic strawberry fields." So it's a big, when we buy those organic strawberries, we also are really helping our neighbors out. So it's just to me, it was a miracle, but we do have power, we do have agency.
I love that story so much because it does seem like you're one in a million, right? But that is such a powerful imagery. I actually used to live in the Central Valley as well, and so just seeing all of those strawberry fields, all of the crop dusting, and it's overwhelming. And just to see the increase in demand of organic produce it's just so it's so exciting to me. So I'm so grateful that you are out there and you are doing this work with the boots on the ground. You wrote this amazing book, so everybody needs to go out and read it. And how can people reach you if they have questions, or what kind of platforms do you have to work with people?
Oh, thank you for asking. Well, Raising Healthy Kids is available from your local independent bookseller. If you can't find it there, you can go to Amazon or Barnes and Noble, Target, Walmart. You can also go to raisinghealthykidsthebook.com, and that will take you to my website, where I'm writing about Cancer Alley, and I report on our latest findings from the Healthy Living Foundation, the progress of our legal actions, what you can do to protect yourself. So, raisinghealthykidsthebook.com.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time. This has just been such a powerful conversation, and I really hope and pray that it reaches the ears that it needs to reach. And I know it will, because that's the way these things work. So thank you so much for your time. It was a pleasure talking to you, and hopefully we'll meet back again sometime.
I hope so, Eleanor. Thank you for the opportunity to talk to your audience. I really appreciate it.
Thanks. Thank you for tuning in to the Holistic Hormone Podcast. I appreciate you being part of our community, and I hope you found today's episode truly valuable. If this podcast meant something to you and you'd like to show your support, please consider leaving me a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Your reviews help others discover this valuable information. Don't forget to stay connected with me on social media. You can always find me on Instagram at holistic.hormone.specialist, where I share insights, tips, and updates to keep you informed and inspired. And if you're interested in exploring my latest programs and resources, head over to nourishingnutrition.net to see what's new and how you can further your journey to holistic hormone health. Once again, thanks for being part of this podcast family. Your health and well-being matter, and I'm here to support you every step of the way. Until next time, take care and stay hormonally balanced.